ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय।
हरे कृष्ण। So because the text is not in the meter, so I'll just read the verse and then we'll go to word meanings.
Etesham kavir mahavira savana iti traya asana urdvaretastha atma vidyayam arbha bhava darbhyakret parichaya paramahamsam eva shramam abhajan.
What word meaning? Etesham. Of these, Kavihi, Kavi, Mahavira, Mahavira, Savana, Savana, Iti, thus, Traya, three, Asana, were, Urdhvaretasa, completely celibate, Te, they, Atmavidyayam, in transcendental knowledge, arbha bhavat, from childhood, aryabhya, beginning, krita parichaya, very well versed, paramahamsayam, of the highest spiritual perfection of human life, eva, certainly, ashramam, the order, abhajan, executed. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Three among these ten, namely Kavi, Mahavira and Savana, lived in complete celibacy. Thus, trained in brahmachari life from the beginning of childhood, they were very conversant with the highest perfection known as the Paramhamsa Ashram. Purport. The word urdhva retasa in this verse is very significant. Urdhva reta refers to one who can control sex life and who, instead of wasting semen by discharging it, can use this most important substance accumulated in the body to enrich the brain. One who can completely control the sex life is able to work wonderfully with his brain, especially in remembering. Thus, students who simply hear Vedic instructions once from their teacher could remember them verbatim without needing to read books, which therefore did not exist in the former times. Another significant word is arbha bhavat, which means from very childhood. Another meaning is from being very affectionate to children. In other words, Paramhamsa life is dedicated for the benefit of others. Just as a father sacrifices many things out of affection for his son, great saintly persons sacrifice all kinds of bodily comforts for the benefit of human society. In this connection, there is a verse concerning six Goswamis.
Tyaktva turnamashesha mandalapati shrenem sadatuchavat bhutvadina ganesha kau karunaya kaupena kanthashritau.
Because of their compassion for the poor fallen souls, the six Goswamis gave up their exalted positions as minister and took vows as mendicants, thus minimizing their bodily wants as far as possible. They accepted only a loin cloth and a begging bowl. Thus they remained in Vrindavan to execute the orders of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by compiling and publishing various Vaishnava literatures. Before this was text 25, which only had translation. The translation I will read. The ten sons of Maharaj Priyavarta were named Agnidhara, Ibhma Jiva, Yajna Bahu, Mahavira, Hiranareta, Grastha Prishta, Savana, Medhatithi, Vitihotra, and Kavi. These are also the names of Agni, the fire god. Omagyanat mirandhasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshuron militam yena tasmay shri gurve namah. Shri Chaitanya manabhishtam sapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa kadamayam dadati svapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakabalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsya Shri Rupam Sahagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamsya Namaham Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimade Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyata Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratushe Namaham He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama, Rama Hare 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 Krishna. First of all, seeking blessings of all the Vaishnavas, senior devotees sitting here, so that I can speak, I can discuss something from Srimad Bhagavatam, my own purification. Three among these men, namely Kavi, Mahavira and Savanna, lived in complete celibacy. Thus trained in brahmachari life from the beginning of childhood, they were conversant with the highest perfection known as Paramhamsa Ashram. So here Srila Prabhupada is writing about two things. One is how three sons of Maharaj Priyavrat, they became sannyasis, and why to accept sannyas order. So we'll discuss four topics. We can discuss this verse as what to sacrifice, how to sacrifice, why to sacrifice, and how to remain in the same spirit of sacrifice. This four topics we can discuss. So first, what to sacrifice. In the Vedic culture, we see from Srimad Bhagavatam and other literatures that sacrifice was a part of life of human beings. Everyone, you know, even like great kings like Prachini Bharishad and Daksha Prajapati, they were kings and their son were princes who were supposed to become kings, but their fathers told them to go and practice the vow of austerity and celibacy, accept, you know, voluntary, you know, give austerities, so that you can. They also knew that until and unless we go through this life of, you know, life stage of brahmachari, which was to practice vow of celibacy, it will not be, you know, it will not be possible for that living entity to become a good grihastha also. So it was so necessary for their sacrifice life. Apart from that, here Srila Prabhupada writes that one who remained brahmachari, we see the benefits are the increase of memory happens. The memory, the Shruti Dharas, which we call in the past life, Shruti Dhara, once they will hear and they will always remember. Because of the sacrifice which they are doing on on part of sense gratification. When we see what to sacrifice here, spiritual life means sacrifice. Gandhiji used to say that worship without sacrifice is sin. And
You see that
Srila Prabhupada writes in the sixth canto that there are four ashrams, Brahmachari ashram, Grihastha ashram, Vanaprastha ashram and Sannyasa ashram. But everyone has to accept Brahmachari ashram. Because everyone, as the Prabhupada writes in Brahmachari ashram, as student. So everyone is a student initially. But after that, one may directly opt for Sannyasa ashram. So Grihastha ashram and Vanaprastha ashram, Prabhupada says, he can transcend directly. And then one of the lectures, Srila Prabhupada speaks that then in this way, Brahmachari will escape all the material tribulations which are going through other ashrams. So out of the and we also see that out of four ashramas, three ashrams you have to follow the vow of celibacy, except Grihastha ashram where some permission is given. Apart from that, in all other ashram there is no association with women. So again and again it is stressed in the scriptures that what to sacrifice and how to sacrifice, what to sacrifice. Krishna says sacrifice does not mean that you sacrifice whatever is the most useless thing available with us. We sacrifice which is not of any use to us and we just give away saying that we are sacrificing this. Sacrificing means the best available thing with us which we give away voluntarily. Not that we heard a story that one boatman was going with carrying some flowers and some flowers, you know, went into the river and he said, okay, that Krishna, I offered these flowers to you. He got benefit for that, went to heavenly planets. But that is not the actual meaning of sacrifice here. Sacrifice is the best possible thing available with us, we give up voluntarily. And in this material world, we see the best standards of sense gratification as per materialistic conception is enjoyment of opposite sex. So someone voluntarily gives it up, that is the best of the sacrifice. What we are giving, you know, from our side as an offering to Guru and Krishna. Yeah. Krishna does not, one devotee was saying, Krishna does not see what you offer to him. Krishna sees what you keep with you, behind you. He is not interested in what you are offering him, he sees what you have kept for yourself. And then we see how to sacrifice. So when six Goswami, the Srila Prabhupada court, they left their kingdoms, I mean, apparently everyone was like a living a king, whether Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, as per materialistic standards, he was having the opulence like Indra, and a wife so beautiful and chaste. Anyone in this material world will aspire for these two things, to become so rich like him and have a beautiful wife. But he gave up. He renounced at his young age. But how he renounced, that is more important. Srila Rupa Goswami Bhatt says that renunciation or leaving, when he says, you know, rejecting unfavorable and accepting favorable, so he adds there, rejecting unfavorable grudgingly. Not grudgingly, you know, it's like giving up thinking without having taste in that. Like in case of Raghunath Das Goswami, it is said he left the sense, this all the opulences, like one passes stool and never to meditate on that. So this is how one is supposed to give up all the opulences and give up and sacrifice in this spirit. That is the actual meaning of how we can sacrifice. Even we see in life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he also sacrificed at the young age of 24, having a, you know, young wife, and he was practically the best in the world in terms of knowledge. At that time also he defeated Keshav Kashmiri and others. No one could defeat him. He had all the opulences. Even when he has to go to Chandkazi for this non-cooperation movement, we see 1 million people, 1 lakh people actually followed him, just as one instruction of Mahaprabhu. But Mahaprabhu left everything. And not grudgingly, not that he was frustrated, or not that even Acharyas, Goswamis and all, they were frustrated with their life and then they left. Like one misconception which we see in the material world, People think that people who are frustrated, they become brahmacharis. And ahead, whole life is of frustration. The big misconception we see. I've spoken with few other devotees also. So the day when they leave job or they decide to leave, the first question, you know, fellow employees or others will ask, what is the problem in life? Why are you leaving? So they don't understand that we are not living because of problem, but for the higher cause. So this is the mood, this is the how we can sacrifice, how we should sacrifice. Then why to sacrifice? Srimad Bhagavad Gita, it itself says that sacrifice means yajna. Yajna means work done for the pleasure of Lord Vishnu. So the meaning, the word sacrifice itself defines the purpose of sacrifice. So if someone sacrifices, you know, enjoyment of opposite sex, sacrifices opulences, sacrifices family, everything, and just living like a mendicant, but not doing any positive engagement, then that sacrifice is not considered sacrifice. Sacrifice means then that is so called renunciation, which will not remain for long also. But here sacrifice means work, positive work done for pleasure of Krishna. So we see Mahaprabhu, when he took sannyas order, there was only one purpose, to preach. So, which is given in the second line here, Bhutva Dina Ganeshako. So even Goswamis, they sacrificed, they accepted this renounced order of life so that they can show compassion to the fallen souls, to the conditioned souls who are suffering. We see when they accepted, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, when they went to Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada writes that on the orders of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by compiling and publishing various literatures. So we don't find them sitting and doing whole day their japa and or chanting or reading or hearing. There was more of, you know, building temples, writing literatures, excavating the places of the time of the pastimes of Lord. So they were positively engaged. Sanatana Goswami also used to consult so many families. Every day some families will come to him and he will guide them. That's why so many people respect. In Mahaprabhu, also in Mahaprabhu's teaching, we see that Mahaprabhu left the Grastha Ashram at the young age and accepted sannyas so that he can preach. He can deliver people and give this message of Krishna consciousness to everyone. That's the whole and sole purpose. So Prabhupada quotes also Jesus Christ. The life of Jesus Christ was full of sacrifice. At the end, he gave up his body also, entire life, as a sacrifice, because he knew after this, you know, maybe these people will accept the teachings. And it happened. So it's not he just sacrificed because he was frustrated in life. He wanted to sacrifice so that it will help people in future. We see a life of Srila Prabhupada, full of sacrifices. Generally at the age of 70, people will retire. And Prabhupada was apparently, you know, anyone can say Prabhupada is living such a comfortable life. At the age of 70, he is just doing his chanting, some writing, staying in Vrindavan. Everything is peaceful. But Srila Prabhupada was not at peace just to sit in Vrindavan. He always used to say, I'm getting dreams of my spiritual master, so go take sannyas and go ahead and preach. So when he took sannyas in Keshav Math, when he got sannyas, Keshav Math, Keshav Ji Gaudiya Math. When he got sannyas in Keshav Ji Gaudiya Math, then Bhakti Pragna Maharaj, who gave sannyas? Keshav Bhakti Pragna Maharaj. Bhakti Pragyan Keshav Maharaj. When he gave sannyas, generally it is seen that when a guru gives diksha to a disciple, guru only gives lecture. But here, Bhakti Pragyan Keshav Maharaj was inspired to give chance to Srila Prabhupada. And he told Srila, after his sannyas, he told to Prabhupada that you give class. Now Prabhupada started giving class, but there was a clear understanding why he is taking sannyas, and which we can understand the way he gave class. It was in Mathura, and some few Bengali devotees were sitting. Either they knew Bengali or Hindi, so no third language they knew. But still Srila Prabhupada gave entire lecture in English. It was very clear by this act that Srila Prabhupada has taken sannyas only to please his Guru Maharaj, which was to preach in the Western world. Jai Shri Shri Radha Raj Bihari Sri Ram Lakshman Shri Gaur Nithai Ki. Only one mission with which he took sannyas was to preach this message of Krishna consciousness in the Western world. And because that was supposed to be preached in English, so he gave that class in English. So it was very clear and focused, why is he taking sannyas? Why is he sacrificing everything? Even when Srila Prabhupada's disciple will approach him that they need sannyas, so first thing Prabhupada will ask, why you want to take sannyas? And then devotee says, I want to preach, and Prabhupada will happily give sannyas. Few of the cases you have seen. So Prabhupada was also inspired to give sannyas to disciples when they are enthusiastic to preach. Then we see life of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He took a vow of chanting holy name 1 billion times, and he stayed in Mayapur for almost like 9 years, where he was just chanting, immersed in chanting. Even when it will rain, he will catch his umbrella and chant beneath. And he was apparently happy and situated in bliss. And then one person approached him in Mayapur, because he heard about Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, that he is such a scholar and he knows so much about Krishna consciousness, he can preach. And that person wanted that this Krishna consciousness should be preached in cities. So he approached Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in Mayapur, and he said, are you the same Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur? And that time Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur didn't accept his offer, even didn't hear him. He was in such an ecstasy that he just said Nithai Gaur Haribol and jumped in Ganga. But then after his vow was complete of chanting 1 billion names, after that he took sannyas in the front of photo of Srila Gaur Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj, and went to the same person with a neat and clean dress, shaven up with a danda, and he knocked on the door. And the person was amazed. Why is who is he? First of all, he didn't recognize. And then the Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, he told that who he was, and he said, now I am ready, let's start the mission. So the purpose of sacrifice was again clarified, it is preaching. When Gaur Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj gave 3 instructions to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur: always reside in Mayapur, never accept disciples, and third I think was never associate with worldly people. Apparently he broke all the 3 instructions. He went to Calcutta to preach. He accepted thousands of disciples, and in preaching, in course of preaching, he has to associate with worldly people. Now this is apparent. The real meaning is, in the spirit he was always in Mayapur, in the consciousness he was always in Mayapur. And even after accepting disciples, he never considered that I am a guru. He always used to say, Dasvasmi, I am a servant, I will serve Krishna to you. And third, he never associated with worldly people, rather he gave his association to worldly people and converted them. So why Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj went ahead not exactly following the instruction apparently for preaching? Only one cause, which was preaching. Then we see how devotees, when Srila Prabhupada ordered that Chaitanya Charitamrita has to come out in 2 months, But he has already written and so much work has to be done. Prabhupada said in 2 months you have to finish that book. So everything, even the drawing, even the paintings are not ready. So I was hearing one devotee was saying that devotees are working 24 hours a day. So one devotee will, you know, paint, and when he is tired or he is not able to paint because of exhaustion, then another devotee will continue the same painting. And writing already was done, and the printing was doing, and everyone was just working. They sacrifice for the pleasure of Prabhupada. And Prabhupada wanted this book to come out so that it will help in preaching. People will know about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that was the spirit. Even we see now also, devotees are sacrificing for book distribution. Everywhere in the world, this marathon is going on, and everyone is sacrificing for book distribution. So this is how, this is the whole and sole purpose, that why to sacrifice. Not just sacrificing means giving up a materialistic thing and just sitting down. That itself becomes selfishness. When we will see how to remain in the spirit of, in the same spirit of sacrifice. Here in the third line of this verse in Shar Goswami Ashtakam, it is said, Gopi Bhava Rasa Amrita, that how when we are engaged in service of Krishna completely, then we can remain at the same spirit of sacrifice. The higher taste, we saw that one lawyer who used to give money to Gandhi's movement. And then one day Gandhi told, you know, I got your money, but now I don't want your money. I want you to come. So when, you know, very hesitantly, that lawyer came and joined the movement of Gandhi. But we saw, because he left the opulence of material world, but he didn't accept the opulence. That was not spiritual as such, but he didn't accept the higher cause. And then in 1 month he left his body. He died in 1 month because he couldn't sustain it. So sacrifice spirit, if we have to remain at the spirit of renunciation, then while living or leaving the opulence of material world, so called opulence of material world, we have to accept the opulence of spiritual world, which is precisely, you know, it's given in holy name. Holy name, if anyone can develop, even Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Param Drishtva Nivartate, you develop the higher taste and then you can remain, stay high forever, as is given in Srila Prabhupada Leelamrit. How can we understand that? We also can understand that how someone is getting some higher taste. If someone remains in spiritual life, that means there is some higher taste which is getting. People might ask outside, that what is that you get in the spiritual life? You're practicing, you're leaving everything. But the fact that some person is practicing for lifetime, for years, there is some higher taste. Living entity cannot live without taste. Or as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, because we have senses, we need sense gratification. But we are having higher sense gratification. Spiritualists are having that. And then they are not affected by the lower modes or by the, you know, opulences, so called opulences of this material world. They are not affected or they are not attracted. Then we say how brahmachari life is most blissful life. Here whatever happens in ashram, the devotees stay in temple. Every time and everywhere they are surrounded by devotees. You know, they are sleeping, surrounded by devotees. They are waking up, surrounded by devotees. They are coming for temple hall, Mangalarti, devotees. They are taking prasad, devotees. So everywhere. Even some misunderstanding happens, that is also with devotees. And Srila Prabhupada says, misunderstanding amongst devotees is also spiritual. So in every situation, whether, you know, positive, negative, we are surrounded with devotees. And here, because it is said about this point of renunciate, we see the other devotees stay out, there's a constant fight. It's like some negative force of Maya is coming and just constant fight is going on whole day to negate that negative force. Because something has been thrusted on us which we don't want, so we are trying to negate it. Maybe the issues in office, the issues in job or whatever, but some force is coming. So it's very, very less opportunities where we get some positive, or we can have some positive engagement, which is very much possible here. So this is how we see that. And in the spirit of renunciation is only the higher taste which can, you know, keep us in. I was talking to one senior devotee when I joined. He said, apart from holy name, you have to develop, you know, taste in literature, taste in Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, reading that, and taste in service. These two immediately you can start, and taste in holy name will gradually develop. But there is no other method that, you know, we leave and we don't think about negative things. Negative thoughts will come in our mind, but we have to just engage in the positive thing, positive services, and gradually they will fade away. So Prabhupada used to give example, when you switch off the fan, the connection is off, but fan still rotates for some time. And gradually it slows down the speed and then finally stops. So after even giving up the life, we come here, we see the negativity will affect us, the thoughts or the, you know, past deeds, but gradually it will go if you are constantly engaged in serving the holy name, serving the Vaishnava, serving the deities. By this higher test we can remain in the same sacrifice, of same spirit of sacrifice. The only reason. And we see how yesterday also Rupcharan Prabhu was saying that one who is constantly engaged in serving Guru's Vani, under instruction of Guru, if he is serving, he himself was giving his example, he will remain there. He himself says, from 25 years I am here because whatever was told by my authority I was doing. So he still remained there. Then Srila Prabhupada also talks about the compassion which here Prabhupada is talking that Goswami is accepted only loincloth and a begging bowl. And also there Srila Rupa Goswami, you know, talks about Vairagya. So what is Vairagya? He talks about Yukta Vairagya. So it is not that whatever is needed in service of Krishna, we sacrifice that also. That is not recommended in the scriptures. Whatever is needed for service of Krishna, Prabhupada utilizes everything. Srila Prabhupada says everything can be utilized for service of Krishna, because everything is energy of Krishna. So in this way we see how, what is the sacrifice, and how we can sacrifice, what to sacrifice, and how can we remain in the spirit of sacrifice. The main thing should be is given here is why. Why should we do sacrifice? There are so many spiritual movements, so many people outside practicing so-called spiritual life, but because the reason may not be clear, that's why they don't remain. Or even merging in impersonal Brahman, that also itself, okay, I want to negate the materialistic life, but there's no positive engagement. So at most they look up to the impersonal jyoti. It is merging in Brahman. Prabhupada also says that itself is selfish. But rather devotees, they look to go to spiritual world and serve Krishna there. So, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions? comments.
We hear that difference of opinion in service to Krishna is spiritual. Lord, you coined the term. I don't know whether it is there. I have not heard Bhagavatam. Misunderstanding between devotees is also spiritual. So, is it both the same or
no? First one, what you said?
Difference of opinion in service to Krishna, that is spiritual. I have heard. So is this misunderstanding in devotees? Is this the same both of the things?
Yeah, what Nimayananda Prabhu was asking, that he says he has heard that Srila Prabhupada says difference in opinion in terms of service is what Srila Prabhupada said. And I quoted that misunderstanding between devotees is also spiritual. So he's asking whether both are same. So, not sure, but we can see how.
In New York in 1971, the pujaris were taking all the mahaprasadam for themselves. So the devotees were very disturbed because they thought it was very selfish. Prabhupada was there, and we went to Srila Prabhupada and asked him, reported to him, Prabhupada, the pujaris, they are not leaving any mahaprasad for anyone else in the morning offering. They should share it with everybody. Prabhupada said, so who's right? Should they share it? Because they say it's Krishna prasad, and therefore they're very, they said it was Krishna prasad, and therefore absolute. And so they could take it because it was their expression of being greedy for Krishna. That's how they justified it. So Prabhupada said, thought for a minute, and then he said, both are right. He said, both the ones that are greedy for Krishna, they are right in wanting to take that prasad in the morning. And the devotees who say you should be giving Krishna prasad to everyone, they are also right. But he said, but it's better if you share the prasad. So he put both on the absolute platform when there was a disagreement like that. On the other hand, if there's disagreements when you're breaking the principles, then this is a matter of discrimination by the intelligence and by temple managers. But I had a question relative to that for you. In our, we follow Shastra, Guru, Sadhu, Shastra. So Guru and Sadhu, Shastra, they should all match, correct? Now in our Shastra, it's very clear that the taking of sannyas in the age of Kali is practically forbidden. And yet we see many sannyasis in the age of Kali. And in our society we see many sannyasis. And people who want to take sannyas. So how is it that in Shastra it says in this age it's forbidden and yet we're doing it?
I exactly don't remember whether I heard from Prabhupada or heard from Prabhupada in lecture or read. Prabhupada also said that sannyas is forbidden in this age of Kali, but for preaching, sannyas is required. And that's why Prabhupada himself took sannyas and Srila Bhakti Santa. So the purpose was clear, that if you want to preach, then only you accept sannyas, so that you can travel.
So, can you extrapolate from that the spiritual authority can he can, in a sense, supersede the Shastra.
One devotee, I know, he was studying under Gopi Parandan Prabhu, and he studied for two years the Bhagavat Shastri there. And he was once telling that, well, many people, you know, some side outside, some people outside there, that Srila Prabhupada, they try to find out outside that what Sanskrit is given in Bhagavatam and what purport Prabhupada is giving or translation is not matching. So there was a big mismatch, and there was a this concern was going on. So this devotee told me that Gopi Parandan Prabhu said, actually there is no mismatch. It may be that he's Prabhupada has not given word to word exact, but what Prabhupada has given is what is required for this time. And also he said that an acharya also has this authority where he can not supersede, he will not supersede the scriptures, but he can give explanation which is based on scriptures, which is required for that time and for the time to come. So that is what I have heard from devotees. And that's why even in Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada's word to word meaning may not be same, but what he wanted to say, which will help the people, which is the essence behind why Vyasdev or why Krishna has spoken Bhagavad Gita. Like one devotee was saying that Bhagavad Gita, all the shlokas are not eternal. You know, when Krishna is talking to Arjuna, and when Krishna would have spoken with Vibhasvan, the shlokas would have differed in terms of words, but the essence remained the same. So here also Prabhupada keeping the substance, maybe, you know, words would have got here and there, but substance is absolutely same. And then again it comes to Guru Sadhu Sastra.
Very nice. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. Seeing no hands up, and with your permission, if you allow, I wish to share what I heard regarding accepting sannyas recently here only, Prabhuji. Should I say, Prabhuji? With your permission, I just wanted to say a few words regarding accepting sannyas in this age, which I heard here only. So if you allow, I'll say. recently we heard here that the kind of sannyas that is referred in Shastra as forbidden for this age is actually not the kind of sannyas which normally devotees take in ISKCON. That kind of sannyas is a traditional conventional sannyas. I am not able to put out the say out the details of that. Karma sannyas, yes, this terminology. It's karma sannyas. So it is not, that is actually forbidden. But the devotee was telling that this kind of sannyas which we accept in ISKCON purely for the purpose of preaching the message of Lord Chaitanya, actually this is good and this should be done, this should be taken. So thank you, Rohi. Hare Krishna.
There are two paths, just comment on. There are Nivritti Marg and Pravritti Marg. Then in Pravritti Marg means Varnashram. Yes, huh? Varnashram. Then in Varnashram, sannyas is not is forbidden at that time. But progress is very slow if you go through Varnashram Dharma. Then the other Nivritti is progress is very quick. You completely you come to this Paramahamsa stage. Then this is the Goswamis. This so asked this that we should at that time. Of course, we have to take a lot of risks are there, because suddenly, taking sannyas is not very easy. But Prabhupada and also Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, they took this risk, especially Prabhupada. If Prabhupada took more risk than Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, it is good. When you fall down, what is the problem? You stay 30 years devotee, no sex, no, and preaching, and risk, big risk is there. But even the man who is taking, then then there are two are there, pravritti and nivritti. Then one in varnashram we go slowly, and this is something.
I also heard one Maharaj saying that Srila Prabhupada, as Prabhuji explained, why he took risk, because Prabhupada knew that it's only sannyasis who can travel all the world, and the brahmacharis who are not entangled in family life, they can travel. And this movement at this time requires so many people to travel all over the world so that we can establish this international movement. That's why a devotee was saying that Prabhupada took this risk. Whatever happens, we'll see. But as of now, let me give them sannyas and let them go out and preach. So, thank you. Sri Prabhupada ki Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki.